This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hello, welcome to Apartment 4D, the podcast all about New Girl. I'm your host, Jill, here with Heather.
Oh, hi, everybody. I was reading my notes.
And Joe.
Hello.
And we're here to discuss season 3, episode 3 of New Girl, Double Date. Before we get into it, we'll pass around the feeling stick. I have nothing today. Joe, did you bring a feeling stick?
You know, double dates kind of give me a feeling stick.
Oh, do they? Or do you get a discussion question?
I don't think. I mean, I can't remember if I've ever been on a double date.
Well, that's funny because we've been married, and I don't think we've ever been on a double date.
No, it's just, I don't know what it is because, like, I don't know. I've just never said, hey, let's, like, maybe we've hung out with other couples. We've done
never,
that.
Like,
Multiple couples.
I don't know
but if not
really
a double
even went
date.
To dinner with other couples. I don't remember that either, but more of a social setting versus saying, hey, let's go on a double date.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I can say I hear a lot of people being like, I'm going on a double date.
I think it was an older thing.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe kids do it today because there's a safety issue. See, you didn't have to do it in the old days.
Right.
Today is more of a safety issue.
It
so
is.
And I can see the comfort level of having people there you know, whether it's
Totally.
Your girlfriend
right.
or your boyfriend or whatever it is. So times have changed where maybe double dates are more of a thing. I don't know. But then again, now there's Tinder and Bumblebee and all
that. Okay, so it's Tinder and Bumble.
Yeah.
But you know what? If you watch an old show like in the 50s or 60s, they always did double dates. My granny had a double wedding.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
her sister. But
the ultimate double date.
I've been on 3 double dates. One was a success. It was actually a friend I talked about my last podcast and her husband. So that was fine. And the other two were in the same year when I was 18. And I wasn't old enough to manage a date, let alone talking to 2 other people.
Yeah.
So they were huge failures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as a first date, a double date would be kind of, you know.
And that's what happened.
Yeah.
Both times.
Yeah.
That's kind of a lot.
Yeah. Good point, Joe.
Yeah.
Heather, do you have a feeling sick?
I do. We may have talked about this before, but I was watching the credits for New Girl, and one of the producers is J.J. Philbin.
Yeah, we've discussed that before.
Okay, my bad.
That's okay.
And if anybody is a fan of Nick's mom, Million Dollar Baby is currently streaming on Netflix, and she has a small role, but it's extremely powerful.
Nice.
So if you like her in dramas, go ahead. And then, go ahead and watch that. And then, number 3 is that on HBO Max right now, they're playing a movie called Eulogy. And guess who's in it?
I don't know.
A very young Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, nice. Oh, I did see that on the internet, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she plays Ray Romano's daughter. I'm obsessed with Ray Romano.
You are.
So I was excited. And then finally.
Oh, my God. So she'll bring like 1.
Well, we do a podcast every 5 months. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So I took the liberty of from 2 podcasts ago. Or more. When my sister asked me, what's your jam in the car to sing?
Mm-hmm.
And I said the song Tempted from the 90s. I looked it up and it's by the band Squeeze.
Oh.
Tempted by the heart of another.
It's from Reality Bites.
Well, it's a song.
Yeah.
And then they use it on the soundtrack.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love the movie Reality Bites.
That's true. Okay. All right, Heather, if you're done with your feeling stick podcast.
No, just kidding.
The Netflix description for season 3, episode 3, Double Date is, and I'm very mad at this description. This is ridiculous. Schmidt is mistakenly invited on a double date. That didn't happen. It was a mistake. No. With Jess and Nick. And there's a hitch in Winston's promise to get them a table at a new eatery. No, sorry. We already know that Schmidt is cheating on his girlfriend, so it's okay to spoiler alert that that's going to come to a head in this episode.
Right. It was an accidental invite, though, because Nick and Jess were going out, mm-hmm. and then they joined them.
Well, it's not an accident. They were invited.
Oh.
It just all came to fruition.
And then Winston's like, wait, what is this? What is this? And they're like, oh, double date plus one.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Winston ended up coming.
Yeah, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
He wanted to bring his cat, Ferguson.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But before we dive
cat
into that.
Cat plus one feline.
Guest stars from this episode include Alice Wetterland, who plays the hostess, who Heather was in Single Parents.
Really?
Just one episode.
J.J. Philbin produced that, so...
You literally just said that.
Single Parents.
Yes.
So, it's crossover.
Right.
Which I've seen before in this.
Okay, so to get into the episode, Schmidt's on the phone with Elizabeth while Cece is at the loft, or Elizabeth's calling while Cece's at the loft, and gets roped into, apparently mistakenly, whatever that means, a double date. Schmidt's acting totally weird, just like shouting stuff and acting spazzy. When Winston comes in and says, Winston and Ferguson about to split some pasta. Which I'm guessing was an ad-lib moment. He goes, what y'all talking about? Going on dates? And then gives the best speech ever in New Girl history about he made a choice as a man to get to know himself, don't no one know you but you, to justify his singleness. And then goes, can I come? And they're like, sure. And he recommends they eat at Pika, which is a brand new hotspot and impossible to get a reservation at. But he's like, y'all don't think I can do it? I can do it. You know, it'd be funny if I brought my cat.
And then he goes, my cat Ferguson.
Oh,
like they don't know his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Nick and Jess are in bed, and Cece waltzes in to talk to her, and how uncomfortable Nick is like hilarious. And she says she thinks Schmidt's on drugs, and can Nick talk to him for her?
But not before Winnie says Bishop could get a chair at a table store.
Yes, he did. So then Winston is at Pika and puts a marble in his mouth because he thinks it's a mint.
Funny.
I just feel like that's
definitely
something,
a marble.
Yeah.
Definitely a marble.
I feel like that's something that can really happen.
I'd do it.
This is a side story, and I guess I should save it for the discussion question, but Joe and I used to throw a lot of parties, like you talked about on the last podcast, really big ones with the staff of the baseball team we worked at, and then when he worked at a new stadium, both staffs. And someone who worked for him would come to all the parties with their spouse very early, and I would think, why do they come so early? What are they doing? And I was like, getting our son ready, who was a toddler, and my mom told me that the spouse of this person got her purse and went around to the table where I put like mints and candies out. There was like 10 tables, and she took all the candy off the table and put it into her purse and then went to the next table. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then took all the table. I don't think they listened, so we're safe. Took all the candy off the second table and didn't even leave one candy for the guest.
Why?
So that all, and I mean, if there's no candy on the table, like that's fine. No one knew there was. But, like, then everyone arrives, no one gets candy because she has all the candy I bought in her purse. Like, if I had known, I would have, like, bought her a bag of candy. It's like, here, this is for you. And then I would have sprinkled the candy on the table for the rest of my guests.
Well, when we wrap up, after we wrap up the podcast, I need to know who that was.
I don't think you'll, like, know. But oh, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Was she really old?
No.
Because old
they
people
had a baby.
Do weird stuff.
Oh. And then, well, there, you know what? I'll stop with the story about what happened with the baby. But yeah, there's just like really not good party guests.
Yeah.
So anyways, the next reservation at Pika is 7 weeks from now. And she says you could try your luck at the community table. And he's not having it. So he slips her a card offering her $100. But we find out, oh, no, I meant to write 10.
That was hilarious.
So hilarious. Now we're back at the loft, and Nick is coming to Schmidt's room and says, I'm just going to ask you this, but I know the question's no. Are you on drugs? And he grabs him and says, and again, it's the little jokes that are the biggest. Hey, did you crack my password? How did you know it was smithereens?
Smithereens. I wrote that down,
God, who comes up with this stuff? It's so funny.
That might have been an ad-lib. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they have a flashback to when Schmidt fell off a deck and how Nick was for him there and he'll be here there for him now. And Schmidt, this has been going around the internet a lot lately. Someone made a TikTok about it, so it's all over the place. That he's like, you know, I'm dating both of them. What do you mean? I'm dating Cece and dating Elizabeth. What do you mean? And I don't know why it bothers me so much, because Nick is the type of person who like would have wrinkled clothes. The shirt he is wearing is like very thin and not flattering and wrinkled. And I know he just got out of bed with Jess. I don't know why it bothers me so much. But I just, every time I watch that scene, all I could focus on is how much I hate Nick's shirt.
We all have our little things.
Yeah, I just, I've seen it so many times because of the internet. So he says, how do you see this ending? And Schmidt's like, badly. But, you know, you need to tell someone to get it off your chest. Just don't tell Jess. And then Nick's like, bleh. And every time he says, don't tell Jess. And we do that at work all the time because I work, you know, in an animal place. And so gross stuff happens. So that's like our code for, like, I gotta go.
Oh, my God. And the motorcycle helmet was hilarious. Oh,
well, we're not there yet. But
I wrote down that it's so endearing how Nick can't lie. It's just sweet, you know?
Yeah, it is cute.
He's I thought they were going to show him with a sweaty back.
That's exactly what I thought.
They don't even mention the sweatback situation.
This time they put a motorcycle helmet on him.
So Winston calls to make a reservation and says he's like Toni Morrison or something?
Yeah.
Which
is the famous author.
Yeah. I think he goes, like, you're a woman. The person on the phone. I was like, what?
That's what you always do to people.
I do. Whatever they say, I just say back. Yeah. In an annoying tone. So then Nick's trying to psych himself up for lying, realizes he can't do it, panic, and puts on a helmet. Why does he have that helmet? Is that a motorcycle helmet? I don't know, because
he don't own a motorcycle.
No one in there owns a motorcycle.
Cece
does own a motorcycle.
Oh, so maybe her and Nick aren't exactly. Rides with Cece.
No, him and Cece aren't exactly close, but
you can take things from people you're not close with.
I guess.
True.
Yeah.
So before we get deeper into that, because all we know is he has the helmet on now. Jess walks in, is talking to him in the helmet. We're back at Pika, where Winston is being loud at the community table, takes food off someone else's plate and starts to eat it, squeezes in real tight, and starts taking over every chair when someone leaves. Like, I got that one. Put the napkin down. Put my jacket there. And he must have been there at, like, lunchtime for his 8:15 reservation.
That's what we have to do at the pool at the casino.
Yes, that is when we go to the pool. We do have to lay out to save our space. I think we've all been there in some capacity. To like some sort of show or graduation where it's not assigned seating. Right.
And it's horrible when you tell people you can do something.
Church on Christmas.
Yeah. But I mean, if you tell your friends, like, I can get you into this concert or something, and then you can't. You feel like a zoo.
So Nick is talking to Jess and says, do you talk to Schmidt? And immediately can tell he has a secret. And it cuts to the next scene where she comes out screaming at Schmidt, you Long Island street trash.
Yeah.
Tell Cece or I will. Nick does a happy dance. Again, the actor who hates dancing the most. I don't know if I call it a real dance.
I wrote that down too.
Yeah, he's always dancing.
He wanted to dance and make everyone happy.
Exactly. Yeah. He tried in his helmet.
Yeah.
Then Cece comes in and can tell that something's up with everybody. And Schmidt's like, we're taking two cars. And just like bolts out and everybody runs to get to Pika.
But when she walks in, did anyone think it was out of character that she goes, double D, date night?
Well, see, she was also in a green dress, which I thought was out of character.
Me too.
So I just saw it as her being so vulnerable and leaning into her enthusiasm in dating Schmidt and, like, being open. Oh. And then he just ruins it a couple minutes later.
But also, the dress was, like, two sizes too big.
Yeah, she had a baby at some time.
Oh, I don't know when it was. Maybe that's why. Yeah.
So Winston is making up excuses with the hostess. As to why, you know, he's like, you think I ordered 8 different meals and took different bites just to pretend? And she's just like, whatever. Like,
I hate my job.
Yeah.
I hate my job.
She's also been working like all day.
Yeah.
So Schmidt is speeding like a crazy person, like he's on drugs again, and makes up a story that Nick is cheating on Jess because he doesn't know what else to do, which I really was disappointed in.
Well, he was desperate, though.
Yeah.
You have to admit.
And Cece's like, get to Pika right now. I'm going to handle this. Nick's driving slow so they don't ever have to insert themselves in the situation. Then there's the weird finger and the cigarette lighter thing for no reason. And eventually... Before they all get to the restaurant, Winston's at the table, and every time someone comes up, he fakes a different language.
Yeah.
Leaves them a voicemail, and then sees all the other couples in the restaurant.
I like, sad. When they did pick Pika, and Schmidt's in the loft, and he's like, and they're like, what are we going to eat? And Winston's like, Pika. And he's like, a same day Rezi at Pika?
Rezi.
So he called it a Rezi.
He says something else to, I think it was in the last episode, to Cece, and he shortens it. And she's like, you could just say the word. He's like, I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. I got tight sked. I got tight sked.
Yeah. Tight sked.
So
she's like, you could just say the word.
That was the setup to show how busy Pika was going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're at the valet and Schmidt refuses to get out after Cece runs in.
And he's talking on a fake cell phone.
Yeah.
An air cell phone.
Jess runs inside. Nick sees that Schmidt's in the car. Gets in the car with Schmidt because I guess the passenger door was unlocked.
Right.
Says, Schmidt's like, I can't get out and it's not the $12 valet. To which Nick opens the door and yells, self-park!
Yeah, that was funny.
Joe hates paying for a valet.
Self-park that maroon car.
Yeah. Maroon car, self-park! Like, obviously, he has the keys. So, Jess and Cece both say to each other at the same time, I have something I need to tell you. But Nick walks in and Cece hits him twice. No one can really figure out what's going on. And then Schmidt finally walks in and tells her, you know, Nick's not the one who's cheating. It was me. And Winston says, I know this is a bad time, but if we don't sit down now, we're going to lose the table.
You know what? I wrote something, and now I don't remember it. It says, Nick celebrating cell phone when everyone knows he didn't get a cell phone in 1999 because he has Russell's phone.
Yeah, so that's not till later. Oh, I wrote that one down, too.
No, really, she goes, you got minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the last scene.
Because all plans are unlimited now.
Right. Yeah, he's old school. Yeah.
So Schmidt gives a really kind of moving speech about how he's sorry. He never wanted to hurt her. He was so fat, and now girls like him. He doesn't know how to handle it, but she's not having it and just says goodbye and walks out. Sad. Then we're at the loft, and Jess says...
Oh, she also says, mail me my mouth guard.
Yeah.
That's Elizabeth, and it's later.
Oh, my bad.
It's okay.
So I remember that line.
You guys are, like, really all over the place.
When I do two episodes in a row, I get confused.
So now we're at the loft, and when Jess says that Cece hasn't called, Nick says, you can't borrow my phone because I'm running out of minutes. I bought 10,000 minutes in...
in 1999.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm still using them.
She's like, minutes? Who buys minutes?
Minutes.
It's a major plot hole because he didn't have a phone at all for a while.
And then Russell.
Then he got the iPhone.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. Okay. And then, sorry, Heather's dog, like, crashed into my leg. So he's back at the, so we're at the apartment, and then Elizabeth knocks on the door, or she's at the door, shoving a pie in Schmidt's face, and when she leaves, he says, if you guys were wondering, Cece did have Elizabeth's number, and I wanted to let you guys know, I blame you for what happened, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if it's the last thing he does, he's gonna break the two of them up.
Yeah.
And then they both panic and say, let's talk about anything he can use to break us up right now, like politics.
Yeah.
Jess is banned from Lake Ontario and afraid of pears.
She goes, I'm in the Green Party. He's like, yeah, that's not a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's all confused by that.
She would be in the Green Party.
Then yeah. Nick says a really famous quote, I'm not convinced I know how to read. I've just memorized a lot of words. Which kind of is reading. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a very
too.
Complicated thought there.
Yeah.
And then they argue about if the moon landing's fake. And then Jess realizes maybe this is it. Maybe this is how he's getting in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And then she maybe wants to buy a gun, which I don't buy for Jess at all.
No, I agree.
And in the second plot hole in 1 minute, says she's weirdly good at volleyball. But later on, way, way later on, she's not very good because later on when coach comes back, they play volleyball at her school and she can't play and she's like getting hit with a ball and it's a mess. And also they both think horses are from outer space.
Yeah.
An interesting thing to think. And that is our recap. Jess, look, let's go.
Wait, just before the recap, I wanted to say one thing I noticed. Jess to Nick, I was pumping my fist at a Weird Al contest in seventh
grade. That's how
grade.
She heard
Yeah, that's how she makes the pop in
cracks
her.
In the elbow.
Yeah.
But that's off because Weird Al was around when I was in junior high. Mm-hmm. And Jess is like 15 years younger than me.
He's been around a long time.
Oh, he has.
Yeah.
Okay. 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, 80s. Okay.
Technically, yeah. He's still around.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. I don't think he's that active, but...
I hope he's not listening, because okay. I acted like he wasn't.
So that brings us to Jess Look. Heather, what was your favorite Jess Look?
Okay, well, I found something interesting. Jess was wearing, like, a tight... top or mm-hmm. some kind of sexy outfit, and then Cece came out
mm-hmm.
and she was wearing like a messy pajama outfit
mm-hmm.
so it was like role reversal.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like it was matching pajamas. I took it as she was wearing Schmidt's shirt and, like, her own shorts.
Yeah, but it still wasn't, like, different. The Cece look.
Yeah. That maybe she, that was when she's pregnant, because now they think about it, that pajama shirt was really big.
Yeah.
I don't know when she had her son.
Right. And then Jess, the black and white dress with the red sweater is my choice, because I believe that the other outfits were just pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm opposed to just pajamas, but I think this early in the show, they hadn't started designing her pajamas yet.
No, I think they did, because they have the one with, like, the Thanksgiving one.
Oh, the turkeys.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Joe, favorite dress look?
I don't know. She wasn't around much in this episode. So
Outfit-wise. Yeah. I don't have one either. I didn't write anything down.
Yeah, this was more of a Winston episode and...
A Schmidt episode.
Yeah.
I did like Winston's jacket when he got Topeka. And he had like a nice like pale colored shirt on. They dressed Winston really well.
Yeah.
So that brings us to best dressed, which I gave to Cece because I was excited to see her in a green dress. Something different.
Yeah.
Joe, who's your best dressed character?
For this one, Nick and his motorcycle helmet.
Oh, samesies.
Ooh, like, good one.
Joe's like keeps reading my mind.
Wow.
Yeah. That brings us to favorite Schmidt moment then rather quickly. I'm going to go with pretty much everything, acting like he was on drugs. I didn't feel bad for him. The cheating was terrible. There's no excuse. Mm-hmm. But I did feel bad for him because you could tell he did not want to hurt Cece and he realized he made such a huge mistake at the restaurant. Heather, what was your... Oh, and a zero on the jar count. Yeah. Heather, what was your favorite Schmidt
moment? That's interesting. Okay, I put the soliloquy to Cece because it shows his serious side, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he threatens to break up Nick and Jess, then we're seeing his comedy side. Mm. So it's a well-rounded episode.
Yeah, he did a lot. Joe, favorite Schmidt moment?
In this one, let me see. So... Oh, boy. I don't know. Driving in the car was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I think it probably was when they were deciding the double date.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that part.
Good.
With the Rezzy at the Picky.
The Rezzy.
Pika.
Or the Pika. Yeah. Yeah.
Heather, favorite funniest moment?
My favorite, I have two, and they both belong to Winnie B. The whole thing of him getting the table at the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and of course the Ferguson scene where they're going to have pasta.
That's what I wrote down. The Winston and Ferguson about to have some pasta song and his speech about don't nobody know you like you.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be single as a man.
That was good too.
Yeah, that was very funny. So the Honey Roast Award for Best Character Performance, Inanimate Object Writing, etc. I hate to be redundant, but I'm still going to give it to Schmidt at the scene where he gives the speech in the restaurant. Heather, who are you giving a Honey Roast Award to today?
Well, interesting. I have two. Winnie B., just for, again, the same things I just said. Mm-hmm. I mean, he needs a Honey Roast for that. Yeah. I'm sorry, he does. And then Schmidt... has to get the honey roast, too, when he tells Cece he is cheating. I mean, that's some good acting right there. That's quality acting, especially for a comedy.
Joe, honey roast?
I would say Winston, because he followed up the last episode with the puzzles.
Two episodes ago with
the Ferguson.
Yeah, two episodes ago, puzzles, one episode ago, Ferguson. Yeah. Like I said, season three just out the gate is so strong for Winston, really being his normal Winston self.
I can't get enough of him.
Caught zero bears in this episode. I'm not even going to ask you guys because we just never see bears anymore.
Actually, in next week's, I have one.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that brings us to discussion questions. Mine we already kind of talked about, which is have you ever been in a situation where you had to try to save seats like you did at Pika? But we kind of already addressed that. We've all been there. We've had to try to squeeze your friends in, and it's difficult. Joe, do you have a discussion question?
Let me see here. No, I don't think I have one today. I think it was covered with the double date issue.
Yes, you kind of discussed it up top.
Yeah, so mine was more along the lines of that.
Heather, discussion question?
Yeah, I do. Okay, the first one is actually just for you, Joe.
Okay.
I was working out this morning. Rude. I know, sorry about that. And I was thinking about our podcast. And I started thinking that recently, you've been giving a lot of credit to Nick for episodes. Whereas in the first season, you didn't. So do you think that that's because he had more character develop in season one? Or why do you think you're doing this?
The good recap.
I think question. Because Thank he has you. More scenarios that... you know, trials and tribulations, per se. Especially after getting in a relationship with Jess.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's so happy.
There's always an adventure, whether they go to Mexico to a beach, or they're at the jacuzzi, or they're trying to break into that guy's house. Schmidt's trying to break him up. So I think he's just handling all those different scenarios in his own way. And really, the only thing for Schmidt that's developing is, he's in this love triangle with Elizabeth and Cece. So Nick is just, I think, more diverse in his trials and tribulations.
Interesting. Now, that's some good insight, Joe. Good insight. Okay, and then this one is for both of you. Have you ever lied for a friend?
Oh, shoot.
What?
I don't know.
Oh.
Probably. Not to their significant other about them cheating.
But ever had to do like a big lie?
I can't think of any. If I did, I don't know if I want to say it on the podcast.
Understandable. Maybe it wasn't the greatest question. Sorry.
It's okay, Joe.
I think you all got to lie at some point because there's lying to protect. There's lying to not hurt people's feelings. Yeah. There's lying to make someone's self-esteem a different way.
Oh, that, yeah.
You know, so, you know, look at this dress, how good it looks. You know, kind of thing.
Well, that's you lying.
Yeah, no.
Like, lying for a friend. Like your friend was cheating on their girlfriend.
Oh, for a friend?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I feel like in a surprise
Probably sure I have. Maybe sometimes to protect where they're at, you know, the location.
Joe, shame on you.
Well, no, like, hey, have you seen so-and-so? I'm like, no, I think they went that way, but you know, they went
that way. Because you don't want them. You don't want them to catch each other.
Maybe that other person asked me, hey, I don't really want to talk to that person. So you kind of dodge them off.
Right.
We've done that before.
I don't feel like that's what you meant.
What do you mean?
I think it was like a bigger lie. Like someone's wife was like, do you know where he is? Joe's like, no.
I don't got really shady friends like that where I have to worry about, you know, them saying, oh, I did this, don't tell someone. You know? Other than like if I get treats behind someone's back for their dog.
Oh, like just happened like 2 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
those are
your friend in that situation was the dog?
Well, that's to, you know, keep a dog from starving. Oh my God. Good,
right.
Yeah. Heather, what's your answer to the question?
Dog
is not starving.
I did, in high school, I remember a couple times people would say, I'm just going to say I'm sleeping over at your house.
Ooh. Oh, that is a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I never got caught, but I'd end up like throwing up and having anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then another time in recent years, I was like 38, somebody asked me to do that. And I said, okay. And then I wouldn't leave my house the whole day. Because I was like, what if I go to Target and see her significant other? What if I...
True, it's a small town, right.
And I told her, please don't ever make me do that.
I get so paranoid about stuff like that. I've never like said I was with someone for them. But like sometimes you're just like, oh, I really don't want to do something. Or like I don't feel up to it. And you have to cancel. And then you're like, well, I can't go anywhere now.
And you can't put it on social.
But your problem is you never stop posting on Facebook.
I know.
So I'll have to call Heather and be like, so you said you couldn't go to this thing today because of this lie, and now you're like, beautiful day by the pool, running errands, and I'm like, you're blowing your own cover.
But also, I'll put on Facebook like having a great day with my sister, and then you tag me put it down. I'm supposed to be sick. Take it down.
Not from work though. I would never.
No, not from work.
Like, sick. Like sometimes you just can't go to every social engagement.
I was checking in at places I'm not really at.
Oh my God, I hate that. Joe went through a phase where he would be sitting in his house and would just check into like a tattoo parlor and make a joke about a tattoo, and then his mom would be like, "Joe, you're getting a tattoo." Or then he was like, he checked himself into a karate studio.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember where it was, but he checked himself into a place where he did not understand what it was and, like, said all the wrong information. I was like, okay, if you're really there, you know that was, like, a restaurant. Oh, I'm so glad that phase is over.
Oh, Joe, you're funny.
All right, well, that wraps our discussion. We'll see you guys next week for season 3, episode 4. Have a great week. We love you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.